We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
Several years ago, a friend and I were studying with a couple of gentlemen, and we had gone through a number of different passages, and after talking about the plan of salvation and the one church, finally they told us, we know that we're saved because we have a feeling in our hearts. We have a feeling inside of us. When I was in the Air Force, I think it was probably about 1993, my boss at the time was an Air Force Master Sergeant, and he called me into his office one day. He was a Baptist. And he asked me, he said, Airman Blackwell, do you know that you are saved? And I said, yes. And he said, how do you know? And I said, I know because I've done the things that the Bible requires of me. And he said, I know that I am saved. He said, because I feel it. He said, the Holy Spirit is inside of me and He makes me know it. This last Thursday night, Cletus and I had a study with some Mormons, a second study with some Mormons. And as we sat around the table with these two young men, we talked about the all-sufficiency of the Bible. And we talked about the warnings about altering the Word of God. And we talked about the church, the kingdom of God. And we asked them, in light of these things and in light of the doctrine that you hold to, how can you explain this? And one of them finally spoke up and he said, I am confident about my eternal salvation, he said, because I feel it. He said, the Holy Spirit has given me this feeling and makes me know that I am right. Ladies and gentlemen, it is extremely common to hear this. Millions of people are basing their eternity on a feeling in their heart. Now, what do you say to that? How do you answer that when you're talking to someone and they say, I've got a feeling in my heart? That's what I want to talk about today. I want to cover 4 points in this morning's lesson. Number one, I want to talk about the problems with that philosophy. Number two, I want to discuss why it is that people always say that. Number three, how may we really know that we're saved? And then number four, what do you do about it? How do you help people who are relying merely on their feelings? Number one, I want to talk about the problems with this philosophy. The idea that I can know that I'm saved by a feeling in my heart. Here's the first problem. Problem number one is that feelings don't constitute a consistent standard. Feelings do not provide us with a consistent standard. You see, the problem with feelings is that they vary from person to person. I mentioned a minute ago that I had talked to people of all these different faiths. And all these people from these different religions all believed that they were saved, and they believed that their salvation had been confirmed by a feeling that told them that they were right. And I have no doubt in my mind that we could sit a round table out, and we could get a person who's a Baptist and a Methodist and a Catholic and a Presbyterian and a Mormon and so on and so forth, and have all of these people from these different faiths who would all tell you that they have a feeling in their heart that they believe says that they are the ones who were saved. And so the question is, whose feeling do we go with? You see, the problem with feelings is they don't provide a consistent standard. In the book of Judges, chapter 17 and verse 6, during one of the darkest times of ancient Israel's history, the Bible says this, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now what's that telling us? It's telling us that in those days they had no consistent standard that they followed. And if you'll read the book of Judges, you'll see that the result was utter chaos. It was chaos. Every man did that which was right according to his own feelings, what was right in his own eyes. That's the first problem. Here's the second problem with this philosophy. The second problem is that feelings are only as good as the information upon which they are based. You may remember the story in Genesis chapter 37, how Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery. And after they did that, they took his coat of many colors and they went back to their father Jacob. And they said to their father, they said, Father, we found this coat. And we're not sure, but we're thinking it might be Joseph's coat. Of course, they knew they were lying, but they said, is it Joseph's coat? Can you tell? Can you look at it and see? And Genesis 37:33 says, and he recognized it and he said, it is my son's coat. A wild beast must have devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth to his waist and he mourned for his son for days. I want you to see this because Jacob got a feeling in his heart. Based on the information that he gets a feeling inside and he's torn up over it. He's mourning for days. His heart is heavy. He's very upset about it. Now listen to this. You get to Genesis chapter 45. A number of years have passed. Joseph now is a big wig in Egypt. He's second only to Pharaoh. And Joseph's brothers, the story goes, Joseph's brothers end up in Egypt and they learn about it. And Genesis 45:26 says they went back to their father Jacob and they told him, and he said, they told him Joseph is still alive and he is the governor over all the land of Egypt. Now listen what the text says. And when Jacob heard it, his heart stood still. He had a feeling in his heart. And it says, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Jacob that he had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, was revived. Now the text is saying Jacob's feelings completely changed based on the information that he received. When he received bad information, his heart was just torn up inside. He was hurt. He was mourning. When he received the truth, his heart was changed and he was happy and he was revived. What happened? In both cases, he had a feeling in his heart. But both cases were based upon the information that he received. Now, the point that I'm making is bad information, incorrect information, brings the wrong feeling. You know, if somebody told you that all you have to do to be saved is to say the sinner's prayer, and you believed that and did that, then you would have a good feeling inside. But if someone else told you that in order to be saved, you've got to be a Mormon and follow Mormon doctrine, and you did that and believed that, then you'd have a good feeling inside as a result. But the feeling is only as good as the information upon which it's based. Here's a third problem with this philosophy. And that is that the Bible says feelings are not reliable. Now somebody says, well, what are you talking about? I don't know any verses that say that. Listen to some of them. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Lord said, there's a way that might seem right. It might feel right to you. But that's not the proper standard, is what the Lord is saying. If you let that be the standard, you're going to be in big trouble, is what God is getting at. Here's another. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, listen to this one. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. Now think about that. The heart is deceitful above all things. And so if a man says, I'm just going to follow my heart, where's he going to end up? If he's following his heart, he's going with the feeling in his heart, and yet the heart's deceitful above all things, he's going to end up in the wrong place. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that he followed his internal feelings. He lived according to his conscience, what he thought was right, what he felt was right, and during that time he was persecuting and killing Christians, and yet he had a good feeling. He believed he was right. His heart told him he was right. He said, men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience. He felt that it was right. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23 gives us a glimpse of the judgment day. And it depicts some individuals who are going to stand before Christ on the day of judgment who feel that everything is right. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? These are people who are confident they were right. They felt that they were right. Even at the day of judgment, they seem to be arguing about it. But the problem is, according to verse 21, they had not relied upon the standard. And so verse 23 says, and then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now here's a question I want you to think about. Why weren't those people conforming to the standard? If they had a feeling inside, if a feeling is enough, why are they lost? The obvious answer is the feeling is not the standard by which we determine salvation. And when somebody says, I know I'm saved because I have a feeling in my heart, ask them about Matthew 7, 21 through 23. What about those people? Obviously they felt that they were saved, and yet they were lost because Jesus said you didn't do the will of the Father. All right, let's go to point number two. If feelings are not the standard and they are not reliable, then why do people always say that? Why do people always say, I know I'm saved because I feel it in my heart? I tell you the first reason. I think the first reason that people say that is because it's easy. It requires no change. Because no matter what someone might come up with and show them from the Bible, it's always trumped by their feelings. And so if I'm pleased to be living a particular lifestyle, or I'm pleased to be living in a particular religion, and someone comes along and shows me scripture that says that's wrong, if I believe my feelings are that which really matters, then I don't have to make a change. One of the young men that Cletus and I studied with Thursday night was a Mormon. In fact, he told us he was from Utah. Now, that being the case, probably he grew up in the Mormon religion. Probably his family were Mormons. Probably his mother and father were Mormons. And so for him, admitting the truth of the Scriptures would have meant a total life change. It would have meant that he was going to have to give up his life as he knew it. And so it was much easier. Even though he was at an absolute loss to answer the material that we presented him, he simply said, "I prayed about it. I feel that it's right." It's an easier route. Sometimes people do it because it's easier. You know, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, we're told about the Bereans. Now, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, listen to this, to see whether those things were so. Now, this is a fascinating passage to me, because even though these people were being taught by the Apostle Paul himself, they went back to the Scriptures and said, "Let's see if that's right. Let's see if what he is teaching us is really true." What if the text had said that they received the word with all readiness of mind because they had a feeling in their heart? What if it had said that? You ever wonder why it doesn't say that? Because that's not the standard. They heard the message and they searched the Scriptures to see whether what he was saying was consistent with the Scriptures. I tell you, second reason sometimes people will say this. They'll say, "I got a feeling in my heart." Sometimes people say it because they can't answer the truth. I heard Brother Thomas Warren on one occasion say that he was in a denominational seminary. He was working on a higher level degree, and he was at this denominational school. And while he was there, he was dealing with a lot of denominational doctrine. And on one occasion, he said that he went into a Greek professor. And he said to this man, "Sir, I want to ask you something." He said, "You are a master of the Greek language. You're a scholar in this field. You know that Mark 16:16 teaches that a man must believe and be baptized in order to be saved. You know the construction of the language. You know that both things, belief and baptism, are demanded. And yet you teach a doctrine that's inconsistent with that. How can you know the Greek and yet teach this? Explain it to me." And he said that the man stood up and put his hand over his heart and said, "The day I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, I knew that I was saved." That's no answer at all. He didn't even address the argument. He just ignored Mark 16:16. Sometimes it's easier to ignore the argument and say, "I feel like everything's okay." We asked this Mormon gentleman the other night, "In light of the verses that we have showed you, how can you possibly be right? Give us some verses to defend what you believe." And he said, "I feel it in my heart." Sometimes people use that when they can't answer the truth. A third reason why sometimes people say that is because they have a misunderstanding of the Scriptures. Maybe they've been mistaught. Now, I told you the other night we were talking with this Mormon gentleman, and I told him there is no example in the Scriptures anywhere of a person having an experience where they had a feeling in their heart that confirmed that they were saved. And he looked like he kind of smiled a little bit, and he turned over in his Bible and he said, "On the road to Emmaus, there were two disciples who were walking with Jesus." And he said, verse 32 of that chapter reads this way, "And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while we talked with him by the way?'" And he offered that as an example of a feeling in the heart. He was saying, "You're saying that there's no such example. Here is one." You see, this is an example of a person who's been mistaught, or a person who misunderstands. Because if you'll look at Luke chapter 24... and you will back up a few verses in that chapter. Luke chapter 24 says, "And he," Jesus, "beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded unto them in the Scriptures the things concerning himself." Verse 31 says, "And their eyes were opened." They got it. He went back to the Old Testament Scriptures and he laid out arguments. And when they saw it, it clicked. They got it. Then verse 32 says, "And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road?'" And it goes on to say, "And while he opened the Scriptures unto us." What caused the burning in their heart? It wasn't a confirmation of their salvation. It was the fact that they heard the message. They heard logical arguments from the Scriptures and they got it. They said, we understand. And when they realized it, It moved, it touched their heart. Just like Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon, the text says that they were pricked in their heart and they said unto them, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They hadn't even heard what to do, what to be saved yet, and yet they had a feeling in their heart. The feeling wasn't a confirmation they were saved. The feeling was a reaction to the message that they were being offered. The same thing is what happened in Luke 24. The reaction of the heart was a reaction to the message. A similar thing in Acts chapter 7. When Stephen preached to the people, they heard the message, and the text says in Acts 7:54, they were cut to the heart. See, they didn't like the message, but it still touched their heart. They were so mad about it, they killed the preacher. But the message touched their heart. Ladies and gentlemen, the pattern that we see in the New Testament is that the message convicts men, not a feeling. The message convicts men, not a feeling. There is no example of a person ever being told that he could know that he is saved because of a feeling inside of him. Because feelings are not reliable. They're only as good as the information upon which they're based, and they're not a consistent standard. Now, sometimes people will go to 2 Corinthians 5:5, and they will talk about the earnest of the Spirit. Listen what the verse says. "Who also has given unto us," God has, "who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, therefore we are always confident." And they'll say, see, what that verse says is God has given us the Holy Spirit, and He dwells inside of us and gives us confidence. He makes us feel this salvation. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:5 is talking about. My question is, how does the Holy Spirit give us confidence? In Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:18, we have indicated there that we are to be filled with the Spirit is the same thing as being filled with the Word of Christ. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm filled with the Word of God. That makes sense when I read Ephesians 6:17 that says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, Word of God. Being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the Word. And so if I fill myself with the Spirit, it means I fill myself with the Word of God. And when I know the Word of God, that gives me confidence about my salvation. This is a passage that has to do with the Word of God, not with a feeling. The text does not say that the Spirit comes in you and gives you a feeling to make you know that you're saved. I get confidence through the Spirit, through the revelation of the Spirit, through the message. Here's point three. How may we really know that we're saved? As many of you know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 John 5:13. John says, "These things, brethren, have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Underline two words, highlight two words, written and know. I've written that you may know. According to John, the written word is what lets you know that you're saved, not a feeling in your heart. John does not say, "My brethren, you have a feeling in your heart so that you may know you're saved." He says, "I've written unto you." You have the revealed word of God in written format so that you may know that you're saved. In 2 Timothy 4:6, the Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." He was going to die. He says, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Paul was confident that he was going to go to heaven. He was confident he was going to get a crown of righteousness, not because of a feeling that he had. He was confident he was going to go to heaven because of the things that are written in the Word. He says, "I've kept the faith." That is, I've obeyed the gospel. He says, "I have finished the course. I've been faithful to what the Word says all the way to the end. And because of that, I'm confident." That's what 2 Corinthians 5:5 is talking about. The Word dwells in me and gives me confidence. Hebrews 5:9, Christ is referred to as the author of eternal salvation. Listen what he says, to all those who obey him. How can I know that I'm saved? Obey him. Follow the things that are written in the Word, and I can know that I'm saved. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote to Timothy, "From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." The Scriptures make you wise to salvation. If I want to know how to have salvation, I look in the Scriptures, and then I'll know. I'm not going to sit back and say, "I need a feeling in my heart." He said, "Look at the Scriptures. They'll make you wise unto salvation. Hide them in your heart, and you'll have confidence about your salvation." 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." All right, one more verse. I want you to look at this one. It's a little bit confusing. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans 8:16. If we want to know how to have salvation, know that we have salvation, look at Romans 8:16 and 17. The text here says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." That means we're saved. If we're children of God, we're saved. And if children, then heirs. If I'm an heir, that means I'm going to get an inheritance. My inheritance is that I'm going to go to heaven. So he says, "The Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm going to go to heaven." Now how? How is that? Like this. The testimony of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. The testimony of my spirit is that I believe the Word of God and I have done what is written in the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit and my spirit must agree. Now let me give you an example to explain this. The Holy Spirit says in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If my spirit can say, "I have done that, and I have believed and I have been baptized," then I can know that I'm saved. Let me give you another example. The Spirit says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts 2:38. If my spirit can honestly say, "I have done that, I have turned from my sins, and I have been baptized," then I can know that I'm saved. As long as we have believed and done what's revealed by the Spirit in the Bible, then we can know that we're saved. Now here's the fourth point. What do we do about this? How do you help a person who is risking his life, risking his eternal life, his eternal salvation on nothing more than a feeling? And when you're out studying with people, and you ought to be, when you're studying with people, you're going to hear this. I guarantee you're going to hear this because people say it all the time. What do you say to a person when they say, "I know I'm saved because I've got a feeling in my heart"? I have got to admit to you that this is difficult. It is difficult to help somebody in that condition. Why is it difficult? Because they're not relying on the Word, they're relying on their feelings. And so you can show them a passage and they say, "Well, yeah, I see what it says, but I've got a feeling." What you've got to do is to convince them that there is a standard by which they will be judged. Because if there's not a standard, then the Mormon feeling is just as good as the Baptist feeling, is just as good as the Catholic feeling. You have got to convince them that on the day of judgment, they're not going to be judged by a feeling, they're going to be judged by the Word. John chapter 12, Jesus says, "He that rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, I like that passage because it's simple. It's straightforward. Jesus said, on the day of judgment, you will be judged by my word, not by a feeling. Now, the question that they need to answer is, what if my feeling is different from what I can show you in the Word? And my experience has always been that those who rely on the feeling of their heart, it is always different from the Word. People say, "I've got a feeling in my heart." Our goal this morning, please understand, our goal this morning is not to pick on anybody. That's not what we're trying to do. Our goal is to show people that if all that you have got to base your eternal salvation on is a feeling in your heart, then you're on very shaky ground. Because feelings are not reliable. They vary from person to person. They're only as good as the information upon which they are based. But the Bible, on the other hand, is consistent. It is the same for everybody, and it contains all of the information that you need to know. And it's infallible. Mark 13:3, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Ladies and gentlemen, I have confidence this morning about my salvation. But it's not because of a feeling that I have in my heart. It's not because the Holy Spirit has stirred within me and convinced me of it. It's because I believe in the power of the Word. And I've read what it says to do. John said, "These things have I written unto you that you may know that you're saved." And I've read the things that are written. You want to know what those things are? The Bible teaches that a man must hear the gospel and he must believe it. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In John 8:24, he said, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." If you read that and you follow it and you believe, you've taken the first step. But then the Bible says that a man must repent. Acts 2:38, Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30, in the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If you've read that and you've done it, then you've taken the next step. Then the Bible says a man must confess his sins. Acts 8:37, or he must not confess his sins, he must confess his faith in Christ, like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8:37, when he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Like Romans 10:9-10 says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you've read that and you've done that, you've taken the next step toward salvation. Then a man must be baptized in water for the remission of his sins. Like 1 Peter 3:21 says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. If you've read that and you understand it and you've done that, you've taken the next step. And the Lord will add you to His church. And you will have your sins washed away. And you'll have salvation. And you'll continue to have it if you live faithfully. I know what the Word says. And I've done it. Therefore, I can say the Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Romans 8:16. Now, reading it and knowing it, it does give me a feeling in my heart. It's a feeling of joy because I know what the Bible says and I know that I obey it. But that feeling is not a confirmation of my salvation. The confirmation comes from the Word of God. So,